So how early in your career with CBS, when you had the Smothers Brothers show, did the controversy with management there start about the censorship? I mean, was that near the end, or was that pretty much continuous the whole way?
It started, I would say, probably somewhere around the third week.
Okay.
But that wasn't on political things. It just, they call it continuity. Censorship is called continuity department or program practices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had these guys that had to fill these spots. And they would just make, I think they had to justify their position. And none of them were bad people. We loved the personnel in CBS. And the guys' rank and files had to do what the top management said, or they get fired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't bad. I can't tell you what it was, but early on, it was, it's really what helped get us fired. They found that it was, we weren't easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy was always egged on by the writers who had no investment in the show. It was our show.
Mm-hmm.
They were just writers. And they would try to egg Tommy on to be a little more devious. Mm-hmm. And if we wanted a line in the show, they said, okay, George, I played the banjo and sang. Anyway, he came on the show and he just said, I'll do anything, but I don't want to play the banjo. I don't want to sing. So we wrote an opera for him called Mutiny on the Bounty. And two weeks prior, so CBS said, Tom, you can't say the word frigate for a frog.
Oh, because of the
boat. Rivet's okay, but frigate, you know what it means, frigate.
Yeah.
And it could be misconstrued.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course. That's why we said frigate. Yeah,
right.
And so he said, okay. And they took it out. And so when George Carlin came, the Mutiny on the Bounty, and the ship he was captain of was a frigate.
Mm-hmm.
So that frigate word was used so many times in that skit, properly so. So they would play things, you know, play games,
uh-huh.
and they would add something that's really bad to get something we wanted in. But then when the political things started happening, you can't say things about war. We wanted Everett Dirksen, who was a senator, sitting senator, who's a poet, mm-hmm. on the show because he was interesting.
Yeah.
They said, you can't do it. It's political. And so next week he was on the Red Skelton show.
Yeah.
You know, that's not right. That's inconsistent. And so things slowly started building up.
Mm-hmm.
We did a skit that Elaine May wrote from Nichols. And isn't it funny? Then we had the only idea we were going to be in the business. We'd be over there looking at Nichols and May doing their great comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is on our show and really happy
mm-hmm.
to do it. She wrote a piece on movie censors.
Hmm.
And they said, you can't do that because it was the New York Times printed the entire piece in their paper to show how stupid it was that CBS took it out of the show.
Anyway.
It wasn't even a good piece, actually.
Anyway.
But, you couldn't do a comedy bit on censors. They censored it.
Yeah.
We do, Harry Belafonte did a collection of Calypso medleys of Calypso songs.
Mm-hmm.
And God, he was brilliant. It ran about 8 minutes. It was wonderful. And the only thing that CBS didn't like is we superimposed news footage, which had been seen on television.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was of the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago
mm-hmm.
with the police beating up on people and,
right.
and people acting like fools, dancing in the halls and all that stuff. It was interspaced.
Hmm.
And it was a political statement, but it was also nothing that had not been said. They took out this, they took out the whole piece and put in a 8 minute or whatever time it was, Nixon commercial for president.
Oh gosh.
So, you know, it was those things are immature.
Yeah.
They're not right. And we had no trouble with sponsors. We had American Tobacco. We had an anti-smoking piece on the show. We had people that ask us to go easy on this or that, but we were never mean-spirited.
Yeah.
In any case. You give an assignment to the writers to do a piece on Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Who
Well,
was, you know, leading to the war in,
and
they did a piece on Lucy Bird and Lady Bird. So Tommy says, hey guys, his wife and daughter have nothing to do with this. You know,
mm-hmm.
let's keep it. The power of things. When Muhammad Ali was stripped of his title
mm-hmm.
because he didn't, his conscientious objector.
Yeah.
They did a piece that made fun of that. And Tommy says, hey, let's stick to what's important.
Right.
So that Mason was the heart and soul of the show. My brother was the heart and soul of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the writers they got, like Rob Reiner and Steve Martin, that was the third season. The die was cast by the time we got them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And had we not got fired, we created the Glenn Campbell Show, the Good Time Hour.
Mm-hmm.
We owned the time slot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a production department that was raring to go. We had the best director in live TV. We had stole them from Ed Sullivan. Tim Kiley, he was brilliant. Ed Sullivan's show, by the way, is a great show. And it was live.
Hmm.
If it ran long and you were the last person on, you weren't on.
Yeah.
and we had just everything going. And when they fired the Smothers Brothers, they fired all of that. Now, maybe that was bad, or maybe it made us live longer in the minds of the people.
Well,
I don't know. You can't tell.
Well, they also, they were lucky and developed some pretty good careers on their own, too. So maybe it was
I'll tell you what, if you worked with the Smothers Brothers and crew and production staff, you were made right then.
Mm-hmm.
We got fired. When Sonny and Cher came in, when we came in, we took Danny Kaye's office suite. He was really pissed. It was on the roof. CBS Television said it. It was great. And then when we left, Sonny and Cher took over they called it the Sonny and Cher Smothers Brothers Hour at CBS. they had a well-oiled machine, you know, already in place.
And guess who just appeared in San Diego the other night? Cher. She's still going at it. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
60.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Very talented. I didn't care for her a whole lot. I don't know. Maybe in another life we were married. I love Sonny. Sonny was a genius. He's the guy that saw her talent and was so easy to work with.
Yeah, that's great.
And he's brilliant. And she grew. She grew to be she's a major talent.
Yeah.
And when I see her with Chaz on Dancing with the Stars, you know, I saw her, they would shoot Cher watching her daughter, son dance. And there's such mother love there. You know, you can't, it breaks your heart. It doesn't matter what you're thinking or your lifestyle or whatever.
It's family.
They're human beings. Everybody's a human being. And Cher grew just amazingly.
Yeah.
She's important. She's major important.
So 51 years of touring, and I guess you guys, any remote chance that for any particular reason that you and Tommy might get on a stage again for one night or something? Or
I don't know. It's like saying you're one of the world's greatest marathon runners, and you haven't run in 30 years, but can you just do one race?
Yeah.
It's not that easy. Not that easy.
Well, you know, Mark Russell, I remember him on PBS.
I loved him. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's 82, and I think he's going to go out on the road and do a few more dates. And we had done.
Yeah, but working with two guys in music, we have to get a production team together.
Mm.
And I would like to do it. Jimmy Fallon. Been really wanting us on his show even before he got the Tonight Show.
Uh-huh.
I would like to do it. Tommy, we have great respect from everybody, but I wouldn't want to do it unless my brother and I could do things of a high enough professional caliber.
We had Don Rickles on our show, and then I went to see him live at a casino here, and he's 86 years old, and he went for like an hour and a half. He followed Debbie Reynolds. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now he can't walk, and he's still doing it.
Exactly.
He does about 20 dates.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to die on stage. I think he prefers. No, I don't mean that.
So it's where he wants to die. Exactly.
Isn't it great to die doing what you love?
Absolutely.
I don't want him to die. I just love him. He's a great guy to work with.
So fun.
Debbie Reynolds, we worked with her so many times. A wonderful talent. Maybe didn't choose so well with husbands.
Yeah.
But, and mates, but that happens to us all.
But now,
she's so talented and lovely, and she never gives up.
Yeah. Now, didn't you tell me you guys played Humphreys down here once upon a time? You and
a number of times. Humphreys.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
I was trying to think of that name. I love that venue.
Yeah.
We were there one time when they had the America's Cup boats there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I came to visit some friends, and I stayed there. And I opened up. This is amazing. They had a concert that night. I opened up my slider. And I didn't have a girl with me, and it would have been perfect because Tony Bennett would have been singing live to us while we're making love. You know, not a record. It's not a CD. It's Tony.
Wow, that's
I was all alone. It's a great venue, and it's a wonderful man. There are so many wonderful places now. You know, vaudeville stopped, and what brought. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, people could have a whole career with 15 minutes, they got a career.
But, like,
all the performing arts venues and places like Humphreys. There's thousands in the United States.
Yeah.
And it allows people who are at the top of their game to still be out there. Like, the gambler was the guy.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. When the PK had three semis.
Really?
You know, going to the stadiums. You know, when you're really at the top. And then it's not that you're any less, but you know, things move on.
Yeah.
Your songs aren't as big a hits anymore. Mm-hmm. But the people that grew up with you will never, ever forget you.
Absolutely.
Ever. And there's wonderful venues for that. And people can go see, you know, we have they're called the Van Wassel here. It's a
little theater venue.
Wilbur Wright. Who's a great architect.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Wright? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a beautiful 3,000-seat venue, and I'm going to see Bill Maher, for instance. He'll come in here.
Oh, yeah.
They have Dancing with the Stars come in here, or they'll have the ballet come in there, or whatever. In America, man, we are wired on the Internet. We are wired with performing arts venues. Mm-hmm. There's so much going out there. And once your big rush is over,
yeah,
you're out there earning a living. Judy Collins, she started with us. She was 18 years old at Aspen when Tommy and I really first started with our duet. And she is still out there, and she's marvelous, and people get to see.
Yeah.
You know, it's not they're not has-beens. When people say, oh, who wants to see a bunch of has-beens? You're seeing living history. If you're still performing 50 years later, you're not fooling anybody. They like what you're doing.
I saw Don Rickles and Frank Sinatra perform in the Sports Arena. He was 79, I believe, at the time.
Sinatra?
He's
not quite as high as Elvis.
No.
But, you know, they have their place.
But he had his following.
Personalities and athletes get bigger than their sport.
Yeah.
They're bigger than anything, and they will float around there forever.
Well, I was just thinking maybe if you guys just do, you know, you don't have to do a whole act, but maybe you just do like, you know, four or five numbers or something rather than an...
I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. But Tommy and our agent, William Morris, talks to us every month about, we have offers from Vegas. We have offers.
I'm sure.
And right now, I'm sitting here looking at my cat and my crummy little rent a house. I said, I could use a little income. You know, these older women need a lot, you know,
yeah,
need a lot of pharmaceuticals to stay alive. and God bless them.
And sharing is caring, right?
I have a little program I do for some of the senior homes here,
mm-hmm,
and I put together a little, like maybe 12 minutes, 15 minutes of video clips of the show.
Yeah.
And when I show it to these people that are 80 and 85 and whatever.
Oh, my God.
They remember they were at the prime of their life,
mm-hmm,
in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how great it makes me feel when they light up and they see something.
Well,
and they remember that part. They don't remember what they did yesterday a minute ago, because I'm having trouble with that even myself. But, you know, these things that I'm talking with you,
uh-huh,
they're in a part of the brain that you don't have to think about. It's just, it's like in your hard drive.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I don't have any other...
Is this enough? I think we talked about everything.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions. Do you, Richard?
Okay, you got to get on with your foot massage. So. Priorities, okay?
Hey, Dickie, thanks.
No, I'm not doing anything. I just want to take up too much of your time.
No, it's fine.
I really appreciate it.
I'd love to come there. I'm into stand-up paddleboarding. That's probably a big sport.
Oh, that's fine. I live across the street from the beach. I'll take you out.
We had the CEO of Tower Paddleboards on this show. So, but Dickie, thanks so much for being our guest. And we'll be in touch. Hopefully we get you out here on the West Coast and we'll chat some more.
Thanks for having the tenacity to just message me. That's what the internet is good for, too.
Yep.
And it's been a pleasure talking with you guys.
Thank you so much.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Same to you. And we'll be in touch. Dickie Smothers, formerly of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, we'll be in touch with him. It was a great pleasure and honor to speak with him. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, I just want to say goodbye. And
yeah,
it's been great chatting with you.
Oh, likewise. We'll
appreciate it.